Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Eva.
It is our post-Pride Month celebration episode.
Yeah.
To celebrate all the things Pride.
All the things gay.
All the things that are gay, which we are to some degree. Hi, I'm Eva.
And I'm Emily.
And we are two broke, very broke, post-grads who are nerds. We love movies and TV shows.
Books and anime.
Well,
that's you.
That's me, but
you said my stuff,
I know,
so I
but
took your stuff.
It's okay. And we are, and we also are queer, so we have at least some knowledge into what we're talking about today.
Yes.
And we're gonna talk about the gays. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
You already asked me that. Now I was asking you.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. What do you want to dive into first?
Let's do movies. That's pretty easy, and that's pretty relevant. Not a lot of people know much about books and stuff, so let's talk about movies.
Okay.
Should we do our cons first and then lift it up at the end with the pros?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Let's do cons. Let's tear it down and then we'll build it back up.
The biggest trend.
Okay, what's
in
the trend?
Movies. Mm-hmm. Is I guess now there's a little bit more representation of LGBTQ characters in film. In the past, there have been films that are very problematic, to say the least.
Yeah.
Like lesbian movies.
So I feel like we still haven't gotten it right.
Yeah. You haven't watched Booksmart, but
no,
Booksmart has a great character who happens to be a lesbian.
Yeah.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the focus of the movie, which I think is very important because it's like, you don't need...
It's just her.
Yeah,
just
like, you don't need to explain she's gay, she's going through, like, no, it was great.
It's, like, normal.
Yeah, she was like, yes, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
But, like, that wasn't the main focus of her. But in the past, there have been a lot that's, like... what was it? What is the name of the movie?
Blue is the Warmest Color.
Yes.
I've actually seen parts of that movie.
Same. It's just
and
porn.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of porn.
Yeah, and the guy who made it is a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the main problems of queer movies and stuff, is that, like, it's made by straight people. And then I'll get into that on my end, but that's also a problem with movies and things. Can you think of any, like, queer filmmakers or, like, writers at all?
No.
Do they come up? No?
No.
I'm gonna look that up.
There's probably a whole bunch, but they don't come off the top of your head just because they're not as popular.
Queer filmmakers. I don't know many of these people.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is that they're not very popular. They're not in, like... I want to say they're in the more, like, indie...
Mm-hmm. From this list on BuzzFeed that I'm seeing...
Yeah.
These are pretty much all... Oh, wait. Oh, have you heard of The L Word and But I'm a Cheerleader?
No.
Okay, so But I'm a The L Word, I think it was a TV show, and it was, like, about lesbians. I haven't seen it, but I've heard, like, mixed reviews about it, but overall, they've been kind of positive. And then But I'm a Cheerleader, made in 1999, actually was a really good movie. A lot of people really like that. I haven't seen it, but it's just, like... So, it's about this teenage girl who's, like, a popular cheerleader, and she has a boyfriend, but she doesn't really, like him, but she's, like, kind of confused by it.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's, like, a hot jock and stuff, and she's like, what the heck? And then she's just like, what's... And then she, like, tends to, like, stare at a lot of her girly friends in the locker room and stuff, but she's just like, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she doesn't really understand it, and then somehow, unbeknownst to her, like, she's just kind of, like... ignorant about all this. Somehow she's brought to a kind of like a conversion camp, even though she doesn't even know that she's queer.
Yeah.
And then she just kind of realizes while she's there, she's like, oh, I'm gay and I like girls.
Whoops.
And it's apparently like a cute movie and not dark.
Uh-huh.
Overly dark, at least. I've seen some screenshots and some GIFs here and there. It's super cute, super pastel-y. I'm all about that. And like totally early 2000s, late 90s aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
like spaghetti straps, scrunchies, weird hairstyles, all that stuff. Apparently it's all good. A romantic comedy about sexual discovery.
Wait, but was that made by a queer person?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Her name is Jamie Babbitt. And yeah. That's her. Let's see.
I feel like there's not...
Oh! You just watched this movie. What's it called? Help me out. Billy Elliot.
Oh, Billy
the guy
Elliot.
Who made that, he is queer as well.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let's take a second and talk about Billy
okay,
Elliot.
Okay, let's do
it's
that.
A very good movie. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Also a very good, amazing Broadway show. My
yeah.
girlfriend will attest to that.
Yeah. Also, if you love Spider-Man, Tom Holland did the West End version of Billy Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got very athletic when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Jamie Bell, also phenomenal actor. Sweet baby angel, love him.
Even though he's not queer.
He's not. But, like, the thing is, Billy Elliot is not defined as queer or
right.
not.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he's just a boy who discovers that, like, he goes to a boxing gym, but when the boxers are done, the ballet people start, and he was like, oh, he had to return the keys, so he's, like, watching them all dance, because he's just trying to return the keys to the dance teacher,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like, I kind of like what they're doing, so he starts doing what they're doing, she's like, well, then she starts, the teacher starts helping him out and getting him to be a better dancer, and then he just finds a love for the ballet.
Yeah. And his friend is gay.
Yes, his best friend is
mm-hmm.
gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's noted that his dad is also gay.
Hmm.
Well, it was more of a...
Like hinted at?
Not yeah, because like he comes to his house and his best friend's dressed in... a woman's dress and has makeup on,
mm-hmm.
and then he's like, what are you doing? And he goes, oh no, like my dad does this, like it's totally like it to him it's normal,
right
because his dad does it, so he's just like, okay, yeah, like
so
I feel comfortable
yeah.
in this.
I know this was made like a while ago,
mm-hmm.
like would you in like a modern glance would you consider that best friend and is to be probably gender fluid?
Yeah, I think he is very gender fluid because even at the end of the movie, he still calls himself by
his pronouns, his
yes,
given
like
pronouns.
Yes, he uses his male pronouns,
mm-hmm.
his male name, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he dresses very feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was wearing this beautiful, I don't know if it was a dress because you only see the top half,
mm-hmm.
but it was this beautiful, like black, kind of sparkly.
Mm.
Fabric was
okay.
It looked like a dress.
Okay,
like,
we'll call it a dress.
Yeah, and then he had a headdress on, and it was very like it was very
regal.
Yeah, like he looked great. He looked like he was going to a play, but he looks like what women would wear to a ballet.
Okay.
Like that's what he was wearing.
Got you. Okay.
But he still went by his male pronouns, so I'm assuming he's gender fluid, not
or at least. Non-conforming.
Yes.
Gender non-conforming.
Yeah, because I don't think he was flat-out transgendered, but I just think he was very comfortable in his sexuality.
Hmm.
There's even a part where, like, because everyone in that time period assumed if you liked ballet
mm-hmm.
or if you did dance as a male, you were gay, and they would call them a puff, something like that.
Interesting.
There's a word that the English use... that the Brits use,
mm-hmm.
and then he's like, just because I like dance doesn't mean I'm this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He says that to his
which
best
is good,
friend,
which is good, because like straight men can. It also goes to gender roles, you know.
Yeah.
Just straight men can be feminine,
mm-hmm.
like that in its own way can be queer.
Yeah,
I would argue that you can be straight, but you can also be like feminine.
Yeah,
you
like,
know, like that.
Wrong
that
with
in
it.
A way is also queer. I feel like queer, just in general, the umbrella term queer is just like not conforming to your usual gender and sexual roles and mm-hmm. expectations.
Yeah. And, like, there was a girl that was like, you don't like me, do you? Like, do you not like vaginas? And he's just like, bitch, I haven't thought about that. I'm, like, 11. Which yeah. also speaks volumes that, like, children don't think about their sexuality.
Yeah.
They just think...
of what they like.
Yeah. Like, they're not like, oh, yes, I love... vaginas, or I love penises. That's not how they think.
If like, anything, they're just like, ew, that's gross.
Yeah, they're just like, you know, like, that's not... I'm not really down... Like, I'm just... Mm-hmm. I'm a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm a kid, I don't really care.
If anything, they just fall in love with somebody yeah. because they're just like, this brings me lots of joy.
Uh-huh.
And... or this person brings me lots of joy, so thusly, I love it a lot.
The cutest scene at, like... right, because he gets accepted to the Royal mm-hmm. Academy of Ballet or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to say bye to his normal life because it's out way far from where he is. It's like like London. So he has to say bye to his best friend. And his best friend at one point kissed him. And he's like, whoa, not gay. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kisses him back. And he's like, I'll miss you too. And I was like, it was so cute. And I'm just like, yes. But that's the... that was a really good film, and nice. Everybody should watch Billy Elliot.
Yay.
It's very heartwarming.
Yeah. Let's see.
Mrs. Weasley's in it.
So. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. As I'm looking at this list, Jodie Foster apparently
oh,
is
yeah.
here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
yeah, she's, like, super
yeah.
gay.
She's very gay.
So anything that she makes, apparently she made a few movies.
Oh.
And she kind of sprinkles a little gay here and there, but none of them are
she
really
she did
like...
a Black Mirror episode, but it wasn't a queer episode. It was, that one was more on abortion.
Yeah.
But...
so she has...
and manipulation of parents.
Yeah.
Not really a portion of it.
Even in the 90s,
There's Ellen.
There's Ellen, yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking down this list. There is a Indian-American woman. Her name is Nisha Gantara. Gantara, I think that's how you pronounce it. I dated a Indian boy a long time ago.
So you think
I kind of have an idea. Let's see, and she, she directed Mr. Robot and Shameless.
Wow!
Yeah.
Like the American version of Shameless, I'm assuming.
I think so.
Yeah.
And she was also a producer-director for the first season of Transparent.
Oh, yes, okay.
And
how do you feel about Transparent?
I've actually never seen it. It's with the, what's his face, that one actor, right? And he's, well... in the show, his character is going through transition.
Yes.
At an older age.
Yes.
I've never seen it, so I feel like I can't really put my opinion on it, but I've heard that a lot of people are like, oh, he's a straight man playing a gay person.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about straight people playing queer people?
Yes.
I would prefer not in a perfect world. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like... we were having an argument about this, me and our roommates, where me and Baggio, our lovely ukuleleist,
yes,
for our opening, we were arguing that it would be best to have queer people play queer characters,
uh-huh.
Because of the authenticity, they would give an authentic performance.
Okay,
but
with that statement,
yeah.
What about when gay people play straight people?
The first thing that popped into my mind is like, it's easy to be straight. And I was like, no, I can't say that. But like, I don't know. Because I understand the opposing side.
Mm-hmm.
The opposing side is saying, if they're a good actor, let them play that role. If they are the best actor for that role, let them play that role. And I'm just like, yes. In a perfect world... yes, but I feel like because queer actors specifically, mm-hmm. do not get a lot of roles,
yes.
even as straight characters, like for any character, period.
Neil Patrick Harris did, though, but no.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but he is also a white man, and, you know, if you
no one knew he was gay at the time.
Yeah, you know, so. These closeted people, unless you can pass, quote-unquote, as a straight person, or a cis straight person at the very least... like, then you can possibly get a lot of roles.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are, say you are an out, trans, or gender non-conforming person of color,
uh-huh.
who wants to be a serious actor, where are they going to put you? And
we're getting more accepting nowadays.
Yeah, and then also,
for sure not, but nowadays there's...
I think in a perfect world, Yes. Hire whoever is perfect for that role. Specifically. And then I just think that the root of the problem, I think that's just a product of a problem. It's not the problem, I don't think. I think the root of the problem is that we don't have queer people working in the creative process.
Yeah.
We don't have people working at the base of it all. We don't have queer people working in the companies, in the CEOs that are greenlighting these things.
Yeah.
And we don't have queer people making these movies.
Yeah.
At least majority of them. And so I think if we had more queer people in these central base roles, then we would have more queer people being in the movies.
Yeah.
So that's my take. It's a problem and I see it. But am I okay with it? Kind of. I don't know, because like some of these people have really good performances, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
You know? But it is really frustrating though, because you would prefer it to be a trans person playing a trans person. You don't... I am tired of seeing Scarlett Johansson being put into these movies where she doesn't belong because she's an quote-unquote A-list actor. Like, they're just worried. Yeah, I'm tired of it.
She's not bringing, like, the best performance.
No, she's not! They just think that, like...
If she was, then I guess we'd excuse it. Listen, but, like, she really isn't.
Listen, I'll just put this out there. I'll put this little stamp out there. I am not a Scarlett Johansson fan. I don't care for her. I don't think she's a good actor.
She can be, though. That's the thing. She can be. I think she's like Jennifer Lawrence, where they can be phenomenal, but sometimes they're just not. And you're just like, bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh, you can do better.
Yeah, so I want queer people to play, as this is my preference, I want queer people to play queer people that they represent. Mm-hmm. Like Laverne Cox playing Dr. Frankenfurter in the new reboot of Rocky Horror Picture Show. Fantastic. She did amazing. She looked great. I mean, like, the terminology in that movie is outdated.
Yeah.
Obviously. But, like, having actual queer people playing queer roles and stuff in that movie... Mm-hmm. Or that was, like, great, fantastic, and what we need. So, stuff like that. Do you have anything else to say at that?
See, here's the thing, though. It's, like, I agree, but sometimes, you know, it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, Love, Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Robinson, I don't think, is gay. His brother is.
Mm.
And his brother used the movie... He didn't use the movie. He just happened to, like, say he was gay when the movie was getting made.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, shit. All right, cool.
Mm.
But he's not. But, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the movie.
Skip for the next past 30 seconds.
Yeah, Kian, who is, oh my God, what is this character's name? He's the one that Simon ends up with.
Oh, that cute boy.
Yes. He's actually gay. Like, he is very, very open and very... It sounds weird to say they're very, very gay.
Mm-hmm.
But he is. He's very open about it. So, you do have somebody who is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, I don't know. It's just weird. Because you want them in the main roles. You want them to represent themselves. But, like, sometimes...
But I feel like in the world that we are in now, it's not...
It's a little
hard.
Getting there.
It's getting there.
It's hard. It's just, you know.
Yeah. Like, ugh. And then I feel like a lot of people could use that excuse. I feel like, okay, for, like, saying, we just get the perfect person to play, like, the perfect actor to play that role.
Yeah.
Who would do the best performance. I feel like taking that, I think the problem I have with it is that if you take that mentality, that could bleed into race. You know what I mean?
Okay, but that's where it draws a line, because it's the perfect person to play that role. Well, it depends, because if race is a prominent thing to that character, then a person of race needs to play that character. Like, you cannot get a white man to play Martin Luther King Jr. because that doesn't make sense.
Or in, like, Aloha.
Yeah.
Like, you can't...
She apologized.
Listen, I love Emma Stone.
She made a mistake. I didn't even know... I hadn't seen the movie, so I didn't know, like, the premise
of
it.
So she's... Her character is supposed to be a part Asian, military person.
Okay.
In the the movie. Okay.
Like, that's important to the character,
yeah, well, that's
right?
part... That's a detail that they chose to include in there.
Okay.
If they didn't include that...
It wouldn't have been an issue.
No.
Okay, see, that's the thing. If it's important to the character...
Yes.
Like, if it's necessary to the character mm-hmm. to be that, then they need to be that. Like, Miles Morales for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse...
He has to be... Afro-Latino.
He has to be half...
Puerto Rican?
Afro-Latino.
Is that... I can't even see... No,
yeah,
that's like, derogatory.
I was like, that's not what I meant. But he has to be. That's part of his character.
Right.
Like, if he wasn't that, then it's not Miles Morales.
Okay.
It's just some other character.
Okay.
When it is necessary, that's when I think it is important for the character.
Because you can't pretend to be...
Yeah,
person can't pretend to be Asian.
They can't pretend to be Afro-Latino.
Because then we go into blackface and yellowface and all that. And then, so...
But also, while we're on this topic...
Yeah.
If somebody is Afro-Latino... They're allowed to play black characters, technically speaking, because they are black.
They're black passing.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. But they are. Like, everybody got mad at Zoe Saldana for taking a role that's, like... I guess it's because she's supposed to be full black, but I was like, she's still black. Like, you can't take that from her.
It's like saying Zendaya can't play a black character.
Because she's half. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's not fair, because you're taking part of their identity away from them.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's mm-hmm. messed up, folks. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad at somebody because they're only half of it.
And I think the main reason why this argument is so confusing and frustrating mm-hmm. when it comes to queerness, because queerness is a spectrum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like...
It's very hard.
So, maybe a straight person can play a queer person because maybe inside of them, like, I firmly believe, maybe they are a little queer.
I think,
you know,
to be honest, everyone's a little queer.
Yeah. That's my thing.
I don't know, but
when it comes to representation, we do need more. I mean, I understand the other side's argument.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as a queer person, I want to see people like me actually being represented.
Yeah, no, you want it.
Yeah, in roles that were designed for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I'm going to put a pin in that one.
I think we came down to it, though.
I think we boiled it down.
Super, super important. Please put them in.
It's muddy water.
Yeah.
But we
if it's not,
in.
If their gender, I mean, their sexuality is not relevant to the, not that it's not relevant, but it's not, like, a main identifier for the character. Like,
mm-hmm.
somebody, most of the things, here's the thing, Love, Simon says it perfectly. Why do we have to say that we're straight or we're gay? Like,
mm-hmm.
why is straight the default?
Mm-hmm.
So most characters, who knows what their sexuality is?
A lot of gay characters play a lot of straight people too.
Yeah, I was like, Bleakley from
Bleakley?
Fucking Lilo and Stitch,
a trans icon.
Yeah, there's no like defining what he is. Like, there's no. It's one. It's a kids movie, but like
yeah.
that's why. Like, why isn't that the norm?
I mean, like he's used as
them.
Like a comedy bit, but like they don't treat it as like. A
but like
bad
he definitely. Yeah, it was like he definitely sees himself as like he
they
loves
just
dressing
see,
himself
yeah.
as a woman.
They just see him. That's just how he is, and
yeah,
they just accept
it. Yeah,
he just happens to be kind of a loser, but like a lovable one, not in a way to make fun of, but just like that. He's just quirky.
Yeah,
that's him. So,
but you know,
oh, I guess I could lead into TV shows. I think TV shows are doing a lot better than movies, in my opinion. Because
I don't watch a lot of TV.
That's
not streaming.
I think, first of all, kids' TV shows are taking really big steps,
uh-huh.
which I think is really good. Steven Universe is an obvious one. Just recently, Rebecca Sugar, the creator of the show, she just like firmly like slapped it onto her Instagram,
uh-huh.
and she just confirmed that Stevani, who is the fusion between Steven, the main character, and his best friend Connie,
mm-hmm.
as an intersex person. So do you know what an intersex person is?
No, not really.
Okay, so technically speaking, intersex is a person that has both genitalia.
Okay.
So
you have a different
yes.
different word for that. Okay.
Yeah, so that is what it's called now.
Okay.
Intersex. It's different from gender fluid
yes.
because intersex is biological?
Yes.
But
gender is a social construct while
sex
your sex is a biological.
Yeah. So, But, however, in the show, like, some intersex people choose to identify as a man or a woman, but some other people, like this character, choose to be neither.
Yeah.
Or both. You know what I mean? So, I think in the show, they Stefani goes by they pronouns.
Nice.
They always call them they. Because they're both a boy and a girl.
Nice.
So, that's that. And then all of the gems in that show are queer women. Nice. Well, I mean, generally speaking, they don't have a gender because they're aliens and they're rocks. But they present themselves and identify with female presentations most of the time.
Okay.
Some of them are very masculine, but they still go by she, her pronouns. Unless they're fusions, then they go by they most of the time. Let's see. Arthur.
I was like, wait, what's that about? I'm so confused.
Mr. Radican got married to his man.
Uh-huh.
So apparently Alabama PBS chose to ban it, but there was actually a church, I think it was a Methodist church specifically, who was like, hey, that's not fair. Kids need to learn and understand. So this Methodist church did a public viewing for anybody who wanted to come see it. They're like, hey, we'll watch this episode together and we're going to talk about it, which is really cool, especially from a church.
Oh, it was somebody on Twitter that was like, I think it's important to show children at a young age that there are queer people in the world.
Because that it's okay.
I was like, they might identify themselves as that, and it makes them more comfortable to identify themselves if they know what it is.
Yeah, I think my thing was that growing up, I didn't see lesbians, like, anywhere.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of gay men, and like, even in my family, my grandpa and then my mom's cousin and everything like that. And then I was, like, told that being gay is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the lesbians that I knew, or at least that I've heard of, they were weird. They were, a lot of people didn't like them. Mm-hmm. They were bitchy. They were, like, all this yada, yada, yada. So I was just like, I don't want to be a part of that community. I don't want, like, that's not a good thing to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it wasn't until, and then even in high school, like, I wasn't exposed to a lot of positive lesbian stuff or people in that matter. I didn't really know many, except a couple of them, and, like, this is gonna sound the gayest thing you've ever seen, a couple lesbians on my softball team.
Yep.
They were really nice.
It's a stereotype.
You know what I mean? And then, like, I think, like, this one girl in my art class, and they were really nice. I always thought them as just, like, artsy cool gals,
mm-hmm.
or, like, really athletic cool gals, but other than that, it wasn't until college when I was fully accepted that that was an option for me.
Yeah.
And then that was actually, like, something that was within me the whole time. I was just masking it as something else. So I think growing up, it's really important to show that it's okay, so that when these kids grow up, they don't, like, block out a certain part of them that could be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's my whole spiel about it.
And I think that's why it's important to see it in any sort of medium.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be books or movies or mm-hmm. TV shows, something that they're going to end up watching, it's important to see all different types of people in the world.
Because
there are all different types of people in mm-hmm. the world.
Ooh, okay. So, I was about to say, like, even Disney has been putting little Easter eggs here and there. But, okay. And then, we talked about this earlier, but a lot of people are expecting Elsa to come out as a lesbian in this new Frozen 2 movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both think, no, that's not going to happen, despite us wanting it to happen.
I think it's more, not that, like, Disney is against having a character be gay. I don't think that's the case, but I think if they're going to want to do that, I think they're going to make it their own thing. Like, it's not going to be a part of a franchise that's already created. They're going to make a brand new one where, you know, right off the bat, yes, she is gay, or he is gay, or they are gay. Like,
mm-hmm.
whatever they are, they're mm-hmm. going to announce it from the beginning, so it doesn't look like it's like, oh,
like pandering?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, look, they are whatever, it's part of their character, but it's not.
If they ever do that.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll do it to Elsa just because she's already established mm-hmm. as a character, and I don't know, it just, to me, like, knowing how the company is and everything, mm-hmm. I don't think they would...
They would jeopardize their yeah. brand.
Because the thing is that if they were to do that, and it would be great if they made Elsa gay, mm-hmm. it'd be a phenomenal thing, mm-hmm. but I think they don't want to deal with the backlash mm-hmm. of it, of something that's already so popular and mm-hmm. integrated in so many things in the theme park.
Mm-hmm. And then you the example you gave me was that, like, some parents would probably go to Disney and say, hey, my kid loves Elsa mm-hmm. and she dresses up as her and everything, but we don't approve of that quote-unquote lifestyle.
Yep.
So now she can't be Elsa and you're ruining Elsa.
Yeah, and I don't think Disney would want that. I don't mm-hmm. think they would want... Because, like, there are the parents, there are people who are like, that's not allowed, my child is not going to be exposed to that.
So they're not going to pretend to be yeah. a gay queen.
Yeah, so they're going to strip that away from them.
Right.
And I don't think Disney is willing to risk
yeah.
that on an established character.
Yeah.
I think they'll do it for a brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point they'll do it, but I don't think they're going to do it to an established character.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, they just leave Elsa without a love interest.
Which is fine,
because, like, her whole thing is that she has the love of her sister. That's mm-hmm. what broke the curse, whatever. It's the love of her family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
and they'll her kingdom.
Keep, yeah, I think that's what they'll keep, but I don't know if they'll give her a love interest.
And I guess that could also be a good thing, too, because if we're jumping off of a little branch there, asexual yeah. people,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Maybe she's asexual. Why yeah. does she have, like, that's queer in their own way.
Yeah.
She
doesn't have to be defined by
yeah.
who she likes.
And then that's also another part of the LGBT plus community that doesn't get a lot of
recognition
as queer, because, you know, people are like, well, without sexual attraction, how can you be, like, a sexuality, or how can you be oppressed in any way?
Because everybody says I should be banging somebody, and I just don't want to.
Exactly. They're feeling pressured to be something they're not, yeah. which, hello, LGBT people.
Yeah.
Can you relate?
But here's the thing that also we don't talk about mm-hmm. enough, is that, like, there are problems within the LGBTQ community
mm-hmm.
That aren't good things. Like, there's a lot of... okay, let's bring it back to movies.
Mm-hmm.
Some people... I've had to ask, what's the problem with Call Me By Your Name? Because I don't...
Okay.
I don't...
You've seen the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, because, like, I don't see it in that way. I just see it as an aesthetically pleasing film
mm-hmm.
With a... Because I see it through Elio's, I think that's his name.
Is that the little boy?
Not Timothy,
the
little boy. Timothy Chalamet's eyes. Like, I see it, mm-hmm. I see the movie through his eyes, not through the older gentleman.
Okay.
Armie Hammer, I know what his name is, but I don't remember the character's name.
Yeah.
But, so I don't see the problems in it, and mm-hmm. then, which is... kind of the problem, because of what I've been told is that in the gay community, it's very common for older men to go for younger gays.
That's what Bonjour was yeah. having problems
yeah.
with.
Yeah, and he's like it's a very yeah. big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
These stereotypes
mm-hmm.
or, like, little pockets that we put ourselves in.
Yeah.
You know what
so.
I mean? Things that we let slide, which probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're two consenting adults that just happen to be have a really big age gap, that's fine.
Also,
but if you're, like,
17 in the
He's
film?
17, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's... Some people are like, that's not... he's not an adult yet, and I'm like, well, it depends on, like, where they're from, because some people, they look at age differently, and that's a very, like, we're very used to the way the U.S. looks
mm-hmm.
at ages.
Mm-hmm.
18 is the age of...
Consent.
Legally. But, technically, 16 is the age of consent, as long as you have parental consent with
mm-hmm.
it. So, technically, if you looked at that umbrella with the two of them, they have it because the parents kind of, like, let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know, but they know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those where
mm-hmm.
it's like, technically, he has the parents' consent.
And he has the boys' consent.
Yeah, so I was like, ugh. But I do, like, I guess because it's not a way that I see the world,
mm-hmm.
I didn't see the
right.
issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking to people who are part of the community who are like, yeah, that's a very big issue
mm-hmm.
in our community is
mm-hmm.
that older people are always going for the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah.
Yeah.
I never noticed that before, but guess it's a thing. But that's the thing, mm-hmm. that you don't see these issues if you're not a part of the community.
Yeah.
Or if you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And we should just talk about it.
Yeah.
So that we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Any other points?
Mm-hmm.
Problems? Things you want to see come out? Obviously, more...
I want to see films the way Booksmart did it, where it's not... It's not a big deal she's gay. That it's just, it's mm-hmm. who she is, but it's not the main thing about her.
Yeah, that's...
So I'm tired of seeing that, where it's like, I don't know who I'm attracted... The whole story is them,
you know, like me, I'm depressed, everyone's against
it's me.
Yeah. You know, like, exactly, that's my biggest thing. That's also kind of, like, a main reason why I personally have not seen a lot of queer movies
mm-hmm.
or read a lot of queer books. I'll get into that, but I'm just tired of all the depression.
Yeah.
I...
Because it's a lot of, like, yes, it is a thing that everybody goes through trying to figure out their identity, their sexuality.
And the stories need to be told.
Yes.
But it shouldn't be the only story that's told.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's being the only story that is told, and it's like, look.
It's kind of, I think, we watched Moonlight last week, and I think Moonlight did a great job of mixing the two,
mm-hmm.
where... Yes, we are talking about a serious problem, specifically within the black community mm-hmm. and the black male community with this toxic masculinity. But it show, and he has a problem with it because he's in a very enclosed environment
mm-hmm.
where he can't express himself normally or else he could literally die.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see anyone else like him because they're probably in the same boat as him.
Yeah.
And... Thank the Lord, they actually show healthy masculinity, healthy black masculinity in that movie by Mahershala Ali, his character.
He's a great
character.
What's
his name character? His name is like, it's not Jose.
Blue. Well, they call him Blue.
Oh, Blue. Okay, we'll say Blue. And where that part where, oh gosh, what's his name? The main character. Starts with a CH. Oh my god.
I'm terrible with characters' names today.
Hang on, I need to look. Okay, pause for a second.
Completely drawn a blank.
Pause. Okay, we're back. Chiron. So when Chiron is a little kid, he goes to Blue and he says, quote, "What's a faggot?"
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets into this conversation with Blue and his wife, Teresa, played by a pan woman who we love and adore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, please tell me her name. It's literally blanking on me. Oh, I'm a horrible fan.
Janelle Monáe.
Oh my god, I felt
literally,
shame.
Part shame. Of me, while Eva, her face was literally just like pure disappointment, and I was
shame.
Like, fuck, what's
my
her name?
My whole shame.
And then I was like, wait, I know it.
No, Janelle Monáe. And they talk with him about how, you know, and the way he described what that word means, he said, it's a word to make gay people feel bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he said it's not... he didn't say it's a name you call gay people.
Yeah.
It's a word... He said it's a word you use to make gay people feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not connected to gay people in any way. It's just a word to make them feel bad. And then so... when little Chiron was like, am I a faggot? He's like, no. No, you're not. You're not... No. and then he's like, you can be gay...
But you are not.
But you are not a faggot. I hate using that word. It just felt so
bad. I know, literally, you said it.
I'm sorry. But, like, that's kind of what he's saying. He's like, you can be gay. And then he's like, how will I know? Like, this little boy is like, how do I know if I'm gay? Because that's a little boy. That's a little kid thing. Like, mm-hmm. What is love? What is attraction? Like, how do I... And then these adults in his life are, like, as straight people, you know... we're just guessing here. Yeah. We're assuming that they're straight. They just looked at each other and they're just like, they're shrugging. They're like, we don't know.
Yeah.
So they tell him, they're like, we don't know. That's just something you have to figure out on your own.
And I think that's such a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, also in Love, Simon, when, like, he talks to his mom about it, and she's like, look, this is your journey. You have to take alone.
Yeah.
And she's like, I will, like, she's like you said, you will always be, because you are you.
Yeah.
Being gay does not define you, and I think that's why I love Simon so much, is that what the parents are telling him is, like, this doesn't define you. It's not, it's part of who you are, but it is not who you are.
Just because you come out as gay, officially, quote-unquote, doesn't mean that you have to change yourself.
Yeah, like, there's no, like, he was like, oh, I'll pretend to be, like, I'll be more gay when I'm, like, and everything in college, and he's just like, yeah, maybe not. Like, that's not, you don't have to change who you are. Yeah. You are the person you are, just, you know, you happen to be attracted to the same sex. So what?
And with Moonlight and Love, Simon, they both have good endings.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler alert for Moonlight, so skip for the next 30 seconds, but he reconnects with an old friend, and you assume that they become a couple.
Yeah.
It's a lovely ending. It feels good. You can take that sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Chiron had this horrible, horrible life, and he had been blessed enough, lucky enough, to have good people in his life, and he finally was able to find his... He was able to relax, put down this facade that he built up for himself between his adolescent years and his adulthood. And I want more movies like that where, okay, sure, maybe your sexuality can be a factor in some of the problems that you face, but it shouldn't be number one. And I just want to see happy gays. I don't want to cry anymore. If anything, I want to cry of happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
there's no need, but, like, you don't have to
show them suffering.
Yeah, like, there's so much to tell after.
Yeah, after the suffering.
Yeah, like, you can tell so many stories, just like with any other person. Mm-hmm. There's so much more there.
Make a cute rom-com. Have you ever seen a gay rom-com? Tell me.
Booksmart.
List one. Okay, Booksmart. But, like, you know, like, your usual, like, straight rom-com, where it's just about these two and their relationship or their growing relationship. Let's make a gay rom-com. Well, there's, like, zero problems about anyone being gay. It's, like, your ideal world where there's, like, everyone's just totally accepting of gay people, and you just have...
I want to say there is one, but I don't know.
I can't think of one. All right, people, if you know what it is, tweet us.
Yeah, there's bound to be one, but you know.
So, jumping off of that, I'm gonna go into books.
Okay.
And anime.
She's always gonna go for the anime, folks.
The sad... Okay, so this is actually... I'm gonna shake it up a little bit, because the sad truth of it is there's not a lot of good LGBT anime out there. Yeah. A majority of it is yaoi and yuri, which are... So yaoi is male, like, cis male people in quote-unquote gay relationship, homosexual relationships, but it's written by women for women, by straight women for straight women.
Okay.
And I could go into the whole history, but we're not going to do that. And then it's the same thing for yuri, where it's by men for men. Mm-hmm. By straight men for straight men. It's almost
I
like...
I thought you were saying, like, by men. Like,
no,
they're
no,
bi.
Like, bi, no, like, no, no, like no, made no, by, it. Created by straight men for straight men. And I'm not... That's not to say all of it is, you know, follows that mold, but... A majority of it is, and it is extremely hard to find an anime or a manga that is not problematic.
True.
Because they fall into the tropes of, specifically for the yaoi stuff or the boys' love stuff, they usually fall into the trope of one of the boys atop, you know, is the more masculine, dominant one, and then the other one takes on a more feminine role. And it goes into that kind of male-female dynamic, but as men. And also, a lot of these yaoi stuff tend to be, like, they're not gay. They just have this desire for this one specific person.
Okay.
Which is, like, a weird thing. Where yeah. they're like, we're not gay, I don't like men, but I like you specifically.
Okay.
And
what does it even mean?
I don't know. It's probably a cultural thing that I don't really understand. That there's some... that there, 'cause Japanese views on sexuality is a completely different thing that I cannot look into with my Western eyes.
Yeah.
But... so that's why I'm not gonna spend too much time on these guys, because I don't know. Japan is working through their own LGBTQ things, and it kind of shows in their media. There are a few good ones. There are a few. I haven't seen many of them, but there are a few male-centered ones that I've heard of that are pretty good. The only one I've seen is Yuri on Ice, where have you heard of it? Have I talked? I watched it with Victoria, where this figure skater, his name is Yuri, and he idolized this man named Victor, and they're both like Olympics figure skaters. And then Yuri like has idolized Victor his entire life, and he's just like, I want to be like him. I want to be as good, if not better than him. Like, he's his hero. And so one time Yuri gets filmed copying one of Victor's programs, mm-hmm. and it goes viral, and Victor sees it, and Victor's like, he flies to Japan, and he's like, I'm gonna be your coach, you're going to the Olympics, or at least the Grand Prix final, I'm gonna make you a winner. And so as this whole story goes on, they're like cute, weird, like coach friendship blossoms into something more. Spoiler alert, they end up getting promise rings. Ooh. To each other in front of the Basilica in Spain, and it's romantic, and they don't specifically say they've gotten married, but a lot of like the jokes have been like, oh my gosh, you're married, congratulations. And then actually Victor has said, I'll marry him if he wins a gold medal. And so like there's, and then they also kiss. They don't like semi on screen, because Victor's arm is covering their mouths, because apparently, allegedly, from what I've researched, you can't show a same sex couple kissing in like a regular daytime program. And like once you see a same sex couple kissing, that is upped into an adult film. And has to be moved to a different time.
Okay.
When it's showed on TV. That's what I've read. But anyways, it is a pure thing, and they don't really use their sexuality as a bad thing. No one sees it as a bad thing in that universe. No one makes fun of them for it, for being, even their femininity as men, like men being, showing both their masculinity and their femininity. It's a fluid thing, and no one makes fun of them for it. They're like, yeah, be that seductress. And you're like, if that's how you make a really good figure skating program, do it. Yes, queen. And so there's that. And then, let's see. I have a couple manga here on my list. So apparently there are some transgender manga that are like actually written by transgender authors, mm-hmm. that show really good representations of what it's like to be transgender in Japan. This one author called Haoru Musuko? Haoru Musuko. There he goes. They're a transgender artist / author, and she does good, like, accurate portrayals of trans guys and trans girls. And then there is this one book that I really, really want to read, but I haven't, like, seen it yet. Apparently, they just recently translated it to English. It's called My Lesbian Experience with Loneliness by Nagata Kabi.
A fucking title.
Yeah, and it looks really cute. It's, like, really... And so it's just about... It's, like, almost like a little autobiography.
Okay.
About her experience in Japan being a lesbian woman. Yes, I want to read that. Apparently, it's really good. And then there's also another one. I think it's called My Brother's Husband, where it's about this man. I think he's a widow, or he's a single father, and he has a daughter.
Okay.
And his brother, who moved to America, has passed away.
Oh, okay.
And so, but he hasn't talked to his brother in a long time because he's gay.
Ah.
And so he's just like, but he's also very sad to hear that and conflicted because his brother died.
Yeah.
Like, that's a rough thing to go through. And in an effort to reconnect, his brother's husband comes to meet him in Japan and just reconnect. And so that book apparently is really good. And that's actually made by a gay man for gay men. And I haven't read it, but I heard it's, like, really wholesome and really good because it's based in the eyes of a man who's homophobic or at least ignorant on gay things.
Yeah.
And just is so confused about it that he doesn't want to deal with it. But he's kind of confronted with, you know, this man that his brother loved so dearly and who loves his brother so much, and then sees how this man is making a positive impact on his life and his daughter's life. And so that's a good one. I also have a few book recommendations. Yes, I have a few book recommendations. I have a whole list. Like, I'm showing Emily my really big list of books that I want to get.
Good Lord.
And so I have organized it by topic. And so I am in Gay AF. I'm just gonna say the names,
mm-hmm.
and you guys can look them up later. I'm gonna say kind of like what genre they are, and then you guys can do the rest later. So here's a fantasy novel. It's like an Asian inspired fantasy novel by an Asian woman. It's called Girls of Paper and Fire by Natasha Nyan. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. NGAN, Natasha. And then there's Confessions of the Fox by Jordi Rosenberg. And that is more like a historical fiction one.
Okay.
Of Fire and Stars by Audrey Coulthurst? Coulthurst. That one is also a fantasy one. Fen by Daisy Johnson. That is like a collection of magical realist short stories that have to do with sexuality and gender and things of that nature. Mean by Miriam Gerba. That is like your cute little young adult high school romance drama.
So YA.
Yeah, it's a YA. Yeah, it's a YA. It's cute. Let's Talk About Love by Claire Kahn. I really want this one. It's about this asexual girl but she's like biromantic. She's asexual but biromantic, and she just got out of a relationship with this one girl who broke up with her because she's ace. Because she's asexual and her ex-girlfriend doesn't believe that that's a thing.
Oh, okay.
And so later, as she's recovering, she ends up falling for this one boy. And also, by the way, I don't know if this is super important for the book, but it's just a detail that they put in the book. She is also black.
Okay.
And the boy that she falls in love with, she's really scared of revealing her true self to him because she doesn't want the same thing to happen to her again. So that's a good one about the asexual and a woman of, and especially asexual people of color experience, if you're into that. Let's Talk About Love by Claire Kahn. My Lady's Lover by Nicola Davidson. I think that one's just like your steamy adult erotica there. Bingo Love by T. Franklin. That's a graphic novel. And then now I said My Lesbian Experience with Loneliness by Nagata Kabi. Baby G by Abda Dawasar. So Abhadawesar. That one is about the Punjabi or like Indian lesbian experience, kind of like a slice of life sort of thing, dealing with that. The Summer of Jordi Perez by Amy Spalding. That one is also another kind of drama, like mm-hmm. real life drama. And then last one on my thing is Ship It by Britta Laundlin. And that's also just like a regular one. I also have a book called, Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. And that is a fantasy novel, kind of like a weird, like it's in the vein of Harry Potter.
Okay.
But, like, a fake fan fiction of Harry Potter. It's, like, Draco and Harry sort of thing.
Whoa.
But it's not.
Scandalous.
If you read Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell, the main character of that book creates a fan fiction of her favorite character, which is, like, her universe is Harry Potter. And so this book, Carry On, is that fan fiction, allegedly.
Wow.
It's really weird, but apparently it's really good. I've heard a lot of things. I have not cracked into it yet. Those are my recommendations. I think books are relatively really good with giving people options.
Yeah.
To find queer like experiences and queer stories, because the book industry is very open. It's not as closed off and not as tricky as like the movie industry or the TV industry. Oh, also, I just saw this. I have another graphic novel called Bloom by Kevin Panetta and illustrated by Savannah Ganuchao. And Savannah also does a lot of, she also illustrates a lot of other comics and books that revolve around queer couples. This one's about, it's like a cute little slice of life drama between a Greek boy. It's like in like the East Coast, a Greek boy who's kind of tired of his life and he wants more. And he is introduced to some Samoan Polynesian cinnamon roll who loves to bake, and this boy who comes into his life just replenishes his love for life and for his family, and it is heartwarming and pure and good. It's a cute book. Go get it. So I think I don't really find, at least in Western stuff, you can find a lot of queer books that are good and have good endings.
Yeah.
And that are just average. I mean, there's also the kind of a sequel to Love, Simon called Leah something or other. Love, Simon. Oh, that's
well, because like Love, Simon isn't called Love, Simon. It's Simon and like
Leah book.
Homo.
Yeah, it's Simon and a Hobo, Samian, and Jenna. Leah on the Offbeat.
There you go.
That's what it's called. And it's kind of about her side of the story and how she kind of discovers that she is bi. In the first book and in the movie, she kind of hints that maybe she's like at least demisexual, where she like.
What is demisexual?
Demisexual is when you only feel attraction to somebody if you fall in love with them first. You make an emotional connection.
Okay.
So, like, some people confuse that with ace. It is, like, a spectrum of ace.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're just like, I don't feel any sexual attraction to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? But you connect with somebody and you're just like, man, that is a person for me.
Yeah.
You know? So, because some people who aren't demisexual can say, like, Michael B. Jordan, I don't have an emotional connection to him, but wiggle eyebrows there.
I hate her.
Me and my girlfriend have discussed this. We would have a lovely threesome. Consensually, of course.
Oh, God.
And there's a whole bunch of, like, webcomics. Webcomics are a really big thing now, so a lot of LGBT webcomics are out there. You guys just have to go look for them.
They're out there.
The books and comics are easier to find
than film. Yeah,
that's kind of
there's
sad.
TV shows. We didn't even talk about.
There's TV shows, but again, not as much. If you're gonna rank which one has more and more healthier depictions of queer people, I'd go from books to TV to movies.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I also, speaking of asexuality, I also have another recommendation. It's called The Kiss Quotient, The Kiss Quotient. And it's about, actually, it's about this one girl, I think she has Asperger's or something like that. It's on my, my bookshelf over there. And, she can't really, like, connect with people very well. She has a hard time connecting with people, and in a way is sort of asexual on the spectrum. And then she, like, meets a guy, and they experiment with things, and so she kind of discovers her sexuality through that. So she's not strictly, like, straight asexual, but, like, it's, like, a weird, not weird. It's like a unusual take on how of exploring, at least that side of asexuality, and discovering what you're into and what you're not. Anything else? Do you have any recommendations or any final words?
One Day at a Time.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
I think, just because it just got saved.
Yes.
One Day at a Time, I think, is a very important TV show because, believe it or not, there's a lot of problems in the Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
Being gay is a huge one, and I think it tackles a lot of the issues that you see with being queer in the Latino community.
Specifically,
Because you see it from the mom's perspective. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's my daughter, I'm going to accept it no matter what. There's the dad's perspective, mm-hmm. where he's like, I can't
accept
this.
He's in denial.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's like, you're not that. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. And then even where they hide it from the grandma.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we can't. Like, she's very traditional.
But then it's also, like, the grandma's, slow
acceptance. Her acceptance
is, like, so good.
Is amazing. Because she accepts it in, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because she internalizes it, and she's like, well... which is the thing that I want everybody to see, because it's a thing that all religious people should.
And she is a religious.
She's
person.
A very religious person, as it's very common in the Latin community. Mm-hmm. But she goes through it, and she's like, "Well, God doesn't want me to judge other people because that's not my place."
And also, so, He made everybody perfect.
So obviously.
So obviously that's how she is,
that's
and it's
how
right.
It is, and that's it.
Why would God make something that's not right?
Yes.
And so that's like her nutshell.
Which,
and
I wish every person, every religious person mm-hmm. could just look at the world like that.
Yeah.
Because then the world would be a much better place.
And I thought it was interesting to look on the mom's side of it too, because she's like, I'm not against gay people. She has nothing against gay people, but knowing that her daughter is gay, she's like, I feel weird about it. She's like, I feel uncomfortable about it. And I think that's something my mom is going through.
Yeah.
Because my mom, in her own way, is also kind of religious.
Yeah.
She has nothing wrong with gay people. And then that's also within a person of color experience.
Yeah.
You can be totally fine with other people being gay or accepting of it, but once it's within
your
blood, in your house, that's a whole other thing.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're totally fine with everyone else mm-hmm. being gay, but your own family members.
Right, exactly. And so, like, I think... based on what my mom is, because she went through... So they're my parents' best friends. Their son came out to them, and my parents happened to be with them because mm-hmm. it was over the phone. And so when she was telling me this, our family friend, she was like crying, and I was like, "Why does she not want her son to be gay?" And I'm like, and my mom was like, "No, that's not the issue. She's just like she just had all these expectations, and now she has to change these expectations, and also she knows that people, like, queer people have to go through all these struggles and all these pains, and as a mom, you don't want your kid to go through that."
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and I think that One Day at a Time, expressing that mom's vision of, like, her expectations have been shattered,
mm-hmm.
and now she just has to make new ones, and she just has to, you know, be there for her kid. And I think that's a really important point of view when it comes to the queer experience, mm-hmm. the people who are attached to it.
Yeah.
And then also going off of that, Elena, who is the sole, no, she's one of the queer people in that show.
Yeah.
The main queer person in that show. She is an identified lesbian, cis lesbian. She dates a non-binary person. Who has, like, feminine looks, yes. but they go by they.
Yes.
They, them pronouns. Their significant other.
Their S.O.
Their S.O. And, I think what a lot of people have critiqued the show for is that they say that Elena is one of the most annoying, stereotypical social justice warrior, hyper feminist person that everybody hates. You know what I mean?
But like, I think they did that on purpose.
Yes, I do.
I fully believe they did that on purpose so you can see her also learn that the world is not the way it is.
Elena, like, if you think about it, especially in, like, the lesbian community or, queer women community, when you're young and a teenager and rebellious and hormonal and passionate about literally everything, of course you're gonna be like a social justice warrior, and you think, and you don't want to calm down, you see all of the problems that are going on in this world and you want to save everybody, you want to do the right thing, so of course she's gonna act like this. But I think, and you've kind of seen her sort of shift towards the end of the last season where she's like, I need to settle down. And it's the introduction to her cousin, who is also gay. And her cousin's like, does it matter? Does any of it matter?
Yeah.
Why does being gay define every single action you make?
Yep.
She's like, you don't have to be a hero. You don't have to change the world. Just be a gay woman. A woman who has to be gay, who just happens to be gay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter. Just, sure, fight for what you can, but don't cancel everybody.
Yeah, like, there's, teach them and they'll teach you. Mm-hmm. This is my biggest thing with, like, any sort of political or, like, any sort of issue, is that you need to take a second. You have your opinions and you have all the right to have your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to take a second, let the other person tell you their perspective, because you might not be seeing things the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
So then it'll let you see something and be like, oh shit, like, I didn't realize that, like, that's your mindset. That's why you think the way you do.
Yeah.
And it allows you and them to have an adult conversation.
Which is why you shouldn't cancel people.
Yeah,
who immediately talk. you think that is wrong.
Yep.
And you are a bad person for thinking such a way.
When you do shitty things like rape somebody, yeah,
okay,
for sure, cancel them. But that's a whole different thing.
But like, when it comes to like belief systems, values,
as long as you are not harming someone.
Yes.
You shouldn't be canceled. You should be able to have a grown-up conversation with them.
And I think that is the lesson that Elena was starting to have.
Yeah.
The seed was planted, and I think now that, I'm so happy it got saved and it was picked up, because we get to see her blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seed has been planted there, and she's gonna grow as, you know, a Latina queer woman, lesbian woman specifically. And with a loving, supportive family.
Yep.
And it's just a good, and then she's, and they're gonna talk about important stuff.
Yes.
And it's gonna be good. I'm really excited. We need stuff like that.
So Hollywood and the rest of the world, continue making stories
we've been
about
doing
people.
Well.
Yeah, I was like, continue making stories about people all around the world, because everyone has their own story, and that's why, like, not to, like, veer off of Pride Month, but, like, Crazy Rich Asians did so well, because it's a movie about a perspective that most people haven't seen.
And it was good.
Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Tell the stories, but tell them well.
Yeah.
Show
respectfully.
Show representation, because that's what people want more than anything. And
if you happen to be a straight, cis, man or woman who happens to be white, don't think that you are excluded from any of this. Mm-hmm. If you feel compelled and passionate about telling a story about someone who is queer, someone who is a person of color, someone who is going through a situation that you have never experienced,
yeah.
I feel like, yes, go ahead and tell this story. Because as the person who has this privilege, they can do so much. But also, while you're telling this story, get people who have this perspective mm-hmm. in on it and use them to enrich your story.
Yes.
Which is why I don't have a problem with white people or straight people being a part of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if doing it right, if they're really passionate about it and really respectful of the perspective and the culture, then go ahead and do it. And they use people who have this perspective. And I think that's the whole point of Pride, is that, like, we're not excluding anybody. We're just letting people in. We're just educating people.
We're letting people actually be themselves.
Yeah, and that's...
Without hatred, without judgment.
And that includes straight people.
Yeah.
And men, you know? Like, saying, yeah, Pride is for you, too.
Yeah.
Straight people, like... Like, your allies, just let, like, do good. Help out. And then also, you know, men, let feminine things take over, and like, yep. not take over, sorry, let feminine things into your life,
and don't be afraid of watching movies that are gay or anything that yeah. show a different perspective. It doesn't mean you are, because you can appreciate the stories
yeah.
just as much as everyone else. John cried when he watched Love, Simon. He felt the emotions because
yeah.
it's a story that resonates with everyone, whether you are or not, because you understand where they're coming from
yeah.
and you see their side of the story.
And then it's, if anything, this could be freeing for a lot of straight people and men specifically, because it's like, you don't have to be restricted to this one thing.
Yep.
You can, if you're a straight man, fucking wear makeup.
Yeah,
wear.
Do you, man.
Like, and if you're not into that, that's fine.
Yep.
Be as masculine as you can. If you fucking like beer and football and monster trucks, and that actually sounds really fun. Me and my butch ass. Like, I'm just, you know, like, then, yeah, be as masculine as you want. If you're not into feminine things, that's A-okay.
Just don't be toxic.
Yeah, just don't be toxic. Don't look down on feminine things. And then also, people who are super feminine, don't look down on masculine things.
Yep.
You know, everything is good until you
take it to the extreme.
Yes. And then until you degrade other people for being who they are
yep.
and liking certain things. And that is our message for Pride. And we want good things happening. We want to see good things.
Yes.
In our media, in our books, all across the world. It's a slow process.
But we're getting there. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
But yeah. Eva.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it, really. So I'm Eva. You can find me on Twitter at Eva-BevaMart.
Yes.
At Twitter. Sometimes I post things. I've been doing kind of better at it. I'm mostly on Instagram. You can see all my art and stuff at BevaMart. Excuse me. That's me. Emily, where are you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram. My at is at the Emily Gran. We have a Twitter for our podcast. It's Pop and Stance.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us there for when we post
things. And maybe if we find things that are important.
Yeah, or you can send us...
Or tweet at us.
Yeah, tweet us, like, topics that we should yeah. talk about.
Or, like, things that we may have missed, or things mm-hmm. that... Or even correct us. Like, say we said something wrong, and you're like, hey, I don't think you said that correctly,
yep.
but you messed up on this thing, then...
If I mess up, like, just words in general, don't correct me on that, because, like, words are hard, but we're talking about, like, facts and shit.
Yeah, you know, like, correct us. And so if you have any of those, and or even personal feedback... Leave some. I was an artist in college and everything, I have been worn to the bone. So constructive feedback does not hurt me personally anymore.
Same. Ditto.
So please, constructive feedback. And then also our Diddy man at the beginning, Baggio Ardon, and he is at Baggio Ardon Design at Instagram. He also does wonderful, beautiful Latinx queer artwork. Mm-hmm. He actually just put out a new one, and it's like super cute, very retro, like 70s, 50s ish. That's like really cute. And yeah, and I was about to do the ending for one of my favorite podcasts. No, we're doing this one. We're gonna pop on out of here.
I hate her. Oh God. And yep. Nope. This is where we end it. Bye. He was canceled, folks.
Oh yeah.